morning. Hey, y'all. Welcome to week two. I'm going to trip on that. Of our series called Practicing the Way. My name is Brian Morrell. I'm one of the pastors here at Rockbridge Church. And man, I'm excited to share with y'all today. I would love to open us in prayer. I feel like today is a day that we'll be talking about some things that are interesting and some areas that maybe the Holy Spirit can speak to us. Let me just pray over us. Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for this time. Thank you for this place. Lord, we have come to be in your presence. We have come as your people to hear your voice. And so, Father, we pray that you would speak to us. Holy Spirit, would you reveal things in us? Would you make us more like Jesus today? We give you this time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Hey, question number one right out the gate. Think of a time that someone has said something to you that has like totally changed the way you saw the world or saw yourself. I have an experience like that. So I grew up pretty conflict avoidant and never kind of wanted to engage too much with things. And there's a situation going on about 20 years ago. And I had this a younger guy. I was actually discipling him, and he was in high school. And I was kind of sharing some things with him. And I was like, I don't know, man, I'm not much of a fighter. He goes, hey, you are a fighter. I was like, moi? Like, really? Like you see me that way? I never saw myself that way. And it literally changed how I saw myself. It changed how I interacted with the world. It changed how I entered into conflict. It changed how I led and did things. And I went back to Josh like 5 years ago. I was like, Josh, remember that time that you told me I was a fighter? He's like, no. He had zero recollection whatsoever. He just kind of said it and like forgot it. But for me, it like changed my life. It was crazy. We have these moments that can really change the trajectory of our lives. I had another experience even further back than that, probably 35 years ago, that someone said, hey, Brian, you talk too much and no one wants to hear what you have to say. And y'all, I believed that for the first 42 years of my life. So we have these good things that people can say and speak life over us. We have these things that people can say to us that will hinder us and cause a wrong view of ourselves. And all these things that I'm talking about, the big word we're going to use today for that is formation. Formation. We are formed. We are being shaped and formed all the time. When I think of formation, my dad was a pilot, and I grew up going to air shows. When I think of formation, I think of the Blue Angels. These dudes are in formation. Like they aren't haphazard. They aren't just sort of willy-nilly somewhere in the sky. No, they are in a particular spot adjacent to their other person who's in a particular spot. They're flying 900 miles an hour, 2 feet apart. Like they are where they are with intention. So when I think of formation, I think of getting yourself into a certain spot, into a certain position. The core truth this morning is that formation, as we're talking about today, isn't just a Christian principle. It's not something that happens only when you decide to follow Jesus. No, formation has been happening in you and to you. Some would say since the moment you were born. I would say it's from the moment you were conceived. You've been being formed and shaped. Formation is happening to us every second of every day. And the book of Isaiah 64 says this, but now, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are potter, and all of us are the work of your hands. I mean, we're like clay. My daughters did some clay pottery last year, so I tried to find some clay. And it was too hard. I couldn't mold it. So I went and bought some Play-Doh. Not real Play-Doh because I'm too cheap. This is Dazzlin-Doh. And it's orange flavored. So front row, like you might smell some orange. But here is 3 pounds of Dazzlin-Doh. And you notice when I put it out here, like what shape is it in? I'll give you a hint. Like it just kind of became the shape of its container. That's formation. I could take this lump of clay just like it is, and it is, it's moldable. I could take it and I could set it in the middle of Times Square in New York, and I could leave it for a week. I could not do a thing to it. Not think about it, not touch it for a week. And when I came back to it, will it look the same? No. If it rained, like who knows what happens to dazzling clay in the rain? I don't know. But if it rains, if it's like in the middle of Times Square, it's gonna get hit by a taxi cab, run over. What if someone else found it? They're like, oh, what is this? This is cool. And they start, they start doing something to the clay. I guarantee when I get back, this is gonna look very different than where I left it. And I didn't have to do a thing to it. Here's the main point. You are being formed every second of every day. And so the question isn't if we're being formed. The question that we have to ask ourselves is who or what is doing the forming? Or who or what is doing the deforming? See, I think our problem, one of our biggest problems that we face, is that we have a default mode when it comes to formation. We have a default that we kind of just naturally go to. And our default mode is nothing. Like left to our own devices, we're going to kind of live life. We're going to do things that seem right and good in our own eyes. We're going to kind of just live and kind of operate. We don't think about it too much. Our default mode is to not really think about it and do a whole lot with it. And the problem becomes is we become unaware as we're not thinking about it, that something or someone else might be trying to squeeze us into their mold. What they think is right. What the world says is right. What our friend group says is right. But Romans 12, verse 2, it's a little greasy. Romans 12, verse 2, Plato's way better. Romans 12, verse 2 says, do not be conformed. Do not be conformed to this world, but instead be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, so that he might be doing some forming in you, so that you can stand firm in your faith when life gets crazy, so that you can hear his voice, so that you can walk in boldness and confidence. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, as we think about our lives, we think about our experiences and all the things that have happened. All of us being formed and shaped from the very beginning. All of us have a family of origin, a place that we grew up, and the way that our parents believed formed us. The way our parents argued shaped us. The way our family defined success molded us. Their spiritual values shaped our spiritual values. The way they define success, the way they cope with hard things. Man, our story shaped us. The environments that y'all grew up in. Man, some of y'all grew up in some awesome environments. And you had people and parents who loved you, and you had awesome coaches who wanted to like make you into like the best you could be, and your formation had some shape, and you had some successes. And some of y'all grew up in environments where the exact opposite was happening. And people's interests in you weren't good. And people did things to you that weren't good. And we are shaped and formed. And all of us, scripture says that all of us like sheep have gone astray. Each one has gone his own way. There's sin in all of our lives. We've all run off and done things we shouldn't. And our best attempts to make our lives good and circular and good, I mean, there's always going to be stuff that isn't quite right. And this can feel very hopeless. But the beauty of the gospel, it does not leave us hopeless. The gospel is full of hope. And we have a master potter who knows exactly how we were meant to be. And if we will let him, he will shape us so gently and so lovingly and without shame. We're shaped by our failures and our successes, our encouragement, our wounds. This day and age shapes us. Man, today's all about autonomy and consumption. Do what you want to do the way you want to do it and consume as much as you can to try to build yourself up or enjoy life. But sometimes our spirituality can become something we just consume. I heard this mentioned this past week, a great way to kind of figure out if spiritually maybe you're struggling with some consumer ideas is the conversations you have in the car on the way home. Do your conversations sound like, man, how was church today? I liked it. It was good. Brian was preaching, so obviously that was good. Worship. They played that one song that was a weird song, but I didn't like that song. But, you know, and the coffee was not the flavor I like, but, you know, I'm guilty of that too. So don't feel bad if you are. But what if on our ride home, our conversation was, do you think God enjoyed that? Do you think his heart was blessed with my worship today? Do you think I poured everything out that I possibly could for him? That's why we gathered here together. But our culture of consumerism can shape the way we follow the Lord. We had not even talked about this fella. Goodness. This is a formation machine. I preached a few months ago about that I used to coach shot put and discus, which is so stupid and so fantastic. So somehow, some way, probably had heard my conversation with somebody, a discus video came up on my Facebook screen. I can't get Facebook discus videos off my phone now. Like every other video is a discus video. It's like, I like it, but not that much. But we think like, the things we look at on there, the algorithm that comes in begins to confirm and conform us and shape us. And the hard part is this thing doesn't give a lick about you. It doesn't care if you're Republican or Democrat. It doesn't care if you're pro-life or pro-choice. It doesn't care what your favorite baseball team is. It doesn't want to make you better. It just wants you. And we give ourselves to it all the time, mindlessly, conforming subtly to the pattern of this world. Y'all, the danger, if we stay on autopilot with our spiritual formation, is that we're going to end up looking a whole lot like the culture around us with maybe just a little Jesus sprinkled on top. And that's not what he's called us to. Chris did a fantastic job last week of laying out this series and talking about formation and how we are called, Matthew 28:19 says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Doesn't say go make converts of all nations. Doesn't say go make fans of all nations. It says go make disciples. And this word disciple really means an apprentice, that we have a rabbi, a teacher. We have a king. That we're called to be with our rabbi, to become like our rabbi, and to do as he does. The process of discipleship is a process of being with Jesus and becoming more like him. Man, we need to shift from fans to followers, from disconnected people to disciples, from haphazard to intentional. so that then we can go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. Lord, help us. If we go start going to making disciples of ourselves, to do it well, we've got to renew our mind. We can't conform to the pattern of this world. We need to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. Then we'll be able to test and prove what the will of God is. So our posture, our call, our role as followers of Jesus, as his apprentices, is a posture, is a calling of a posture and a pursuit. We're called to live a countercultural life, to go against the grain, to say no to some things, to say no to our default, to say no to the things of the world, and say yes to Jesus, to say yes to him shaping and molding us, to say yes to him transforming our mind. The world tells us all the time where life is. That's one of our greatest desires in our heart, is to go find life. To find life to the full that Jesus promises. It means that maybe we want that so bad, and the world says, hey, that can be found right over here. And we say, oh, okay, and we can start following, because we have that default. We start chasing after the world and trying to do the things to find life to the full that we think is going to find it. And the world says, keep coming. He's like, well, that didn't work last time. Oh, it'll work this next time. Maybe if you had more money, okay, I'll pursue that. All these things we pursue and chase after, the world says, if you want the world and you want the moon too, you can have it. Just go get it. And we end up chasing after the daggone moon all the time. The book of Ecclesiastes talks about that being a chasing after the wind. Man, I don't know about y'all. That can define me. There are lots of things that I've chased after, and I finally thought I grabbed it, and it's just the wind. God has a different way for us to live. He has a different plan for us, a different way for us to do things, a way that's intentional and not haphazard, a way that's full of life and grace. Can I throw out some fun conspiracy theories? All y'all heard last month that this Artemis II capsule went to the moon. Well, it didn't. Bum, bum, bum. It actually didn't. See, if we're thinking about, like, a lot of times y'all watch the models of how we get there, right? Like, here's the Earth, and the moon is, like, right here. And actually, like, in a scale model, the moon is, like, the exit sign in the back corner. It's real far away. But it's like, hey, you leave Earth, and you go to the moon, and you come back. It's just right there. Go get it. But that's not how it works. I brought a video. This is the flight plan of the Artemis II. Circles around. You can't see the moon yet because the moon's up above and the moon is in orbit. It's traveling around, moving. So Artemis heads out in the middle of nowhere until it interacts with where the moon is at just the right moment. And then it plummets back to the Earth going 24,000 miles an hour, and somehow they survive. It's incredible. So they did go to the moon. They did. But they didn't go towards the moon. The world would say, go towards the moon. That's where life is. They said, no. I've done the math. The world said, this is where you find life. This is where you find fulfillment. And man, if we look at our experience, you say, I've done the math on that. It keeps coming out to zero. God's calling me to do these new ways of living, to these new practices we're talking about, and practicing the way to engage in solitude, engage in fasting, engage in prayer, engage in generosity, to do these things that are countercultural. He says, do these things, and you head that way. I know it looks like life's over there, but you head this way. And when we do those things out of obedience, we put ourselves in positions that we meet him, and he meets us, and he begins to shape and form us into the likeness of his son, Jesus. The life of a disciple, y'all, is countercultural. We live different than the world. We look different than the world. And living that way might cost you, but it's totally worth it. Our objective, if I had a heart and a goal for us today, it'd be for us to make a shift, even if it's a small step, from unintentional to intentional. If you're going to the class after church at 11:30, man, that really is a fantastic class. You should go to it. But we're going to do something in that class called a spiritual or a life audit. And so we can hold, I think, 50 people. There's like 400 of us. So if you can't go to the class, I have this QR code that I want to show up. If you can scan that, that'll take you to this life audit. It'll take you a little time to do it. That QR code is also on the sermon notes if you want to grab one on the way out. But take some time and do this. This is just some really deep questions of where am I being formed? What are the things that are shaping me? So take that when you have a chance. Man, I wish y'all could know a deeper way how much the Father loves you. He is the master potter. He knows